namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Ketumale pi Bhagavan Kamadeva Svarupena Lakshmya Priya Chikirsaya. What I'm saying, that, are we going to go to do the whole verse or only this part? Okay. Sikirsaya Prajapater Tuhitrinam Putrinam Tatvasa Patinam Purushayusaho Ratra Parisankhyanam Yasam Garba Mahatpurusha Mahastra Tejosvichita Manasam Vidvasta Vyasava Samsat Samsvat Sarante Vinipatanti. Let's fast forward. It's very long. Sukadeva Goswami continued, in the tract of land called Ketumala Vasha, Lord Vishnu lives in the form of Kamadena Deva only for the satisfaction of his devotees. These include Lakshmi Devi, the Prajapati Samvatsara, and all of Samvatsara's sons and daughters. The daughters of Prajapati are considered the controlling deities of the nights, and the sons are considered the controllers of the days. The Prajapati's offspring number 36,000. My God, what a householder. One for each day and one for each night in the lifetime of a human being. At the end of each year, the Prajapati's daughter become very agitated upon seeing the extremely effulgent disk of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they all suffer miscarriages. Purport. This Kamadeva who appears as Krishna's son, named Pradyumna, is Vishnu Tattva. How this is so is explained in Madhvacharya. By Madhvacharya, quotes from the Brahmanda Purana, Kamadeva Stitam Vishnu Upaste. Although this Kamadeva is Vishnu Tattva, his body is not spiritual but material. Lord Vishnu is Pradyumna or Kamadeva, accepts a material body, but he still acts spiritually. It does not make any difference whether he accepts a spiritual or material body. He can act spiritually in any condition of existence. Mayavadi philosophers regard even Lord Krishna's body as material, but their opinions cannot impede the spiritual activities of the Lord. Omagyanti mnandas yaganandana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yinatasmai sigurovinama sichitanya manovishtam stapitamina bhutale svayam rupakaramayam darati svaparantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Visigoura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So we see here that Krishna can do anything. He can, in this case, as Vishnu Tattva, manifest a material body and acts as a spiritual as Vishnu Tattva. Krishna is in complete control of the material and of the spiritual energy. And Krishna is very huge. You know, I mean, if you think about the idea people in this material world have, if at all they talk about God, these are very eccentric, geocentric, earth-centric ideas of mundane terrestrials, basically speaking. There's one God in the sky in heaven, and he's surrounded by so many people, and the saints are marching in, and they're playing trumpets and horns, and everybody is enjoying, and then there's earth. And the rest is just, it's bizarre. You know, this universe, even this universe has millions of stars. This universe is one of millions of universes, as much as their Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami, as much as their mustard seed in a bag. And then the whole conglomerate amount of universes is just nothing. That's then the spiritual world just starts after the Viraja River. That's three quarters of the Lord, three quarters of the energy of the Lord is there, with innumerable Vaikuntha planets swimming like gigantic stars in the ocean of the Brahma Jyoti. And then every one of these Vaikuntha planets is bigger than the entire material creation, I read. Bigger than the entire material creation. Think about that. And then people have some very small concept of God in the material world. That God is old, he has a long beard. Well, you're laughing. I mean, look, go into the Sixtinian Chapel, for example, in Rome. Famous, most famous picture of God in the world. There's God surrounded by all these naked people. They're all boys, by the way. Which, I don't want to say anything about the author, Michelangelo. He's surrounded by all these naked guys. It's pornography, basically speaking. An old man with a long beard, and that is supposed to be God. And we know, Krishna very clearly, or Brahma says, Nava Yovanam Cha, he never. Adiyam Purana, although he's indeed the oldest, Nava Yovanam Cha. So Krishna is always young, and he's not surrounded by naked boys in the spiritual world at all. He's surrounded by gopis and by gopas and by coward boys and girls and goddesses of fortune and so many. Everybody's covered. Nobody's naked, for sure. That's Michelangelo's idea. So people have a very distorted, limited, and perverse idea of God. God is so incredibly huge. Krishna is at the same time, Andantarastha Paramanucham, he's in every atom. Think about that, in every atom. But people have no idea. I give you an example. Recently, the head of the Roman Catholic Church made a God bless him, nice man. He made a statement that at the end of their life, all animals go to heaven. What have they done that they go to heaven? Every rat goes to heaven. I don't want to be there. I'll tell you that. Every worm goes. And what is that? What punya they have that they're supposed to go to heaven? People have to work hard to go to heaven. So he said. Now and he's infallible. Understand, the Pope is infallible according to Christian philosophy. When he speaks ex cathedra from the seat. So previous popes, the German Pope, he made the remark, he was asked, same place, St. Peter's Square, the famous weekly audience, what happens when the animals die? He said, they're finished. After their life is finished. So that's another infallible opinion. Previous Pope, the Polish Pope, he was asked the same question in the same environment. What about the animals? Do they have soul? And he said, they have an immaterial but non-spiritual soul. I mean, what is it? Immaterial, non-spiritual. I mean, what is it? It's immaterial, then it's spiritual. And if it's spiritual, not material. So, I mean, there are three different opinions, you know, of three infallible people. I mean, it sounds like a kindergarten on LSD, excuse me. Nobody has the faintest idea what's going on. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, we have a very precise idea what is soul. Very precise, very concise. Even the size of it. Not only precise, also the size of it. 1/10,000, the tip of a hair, stated in Katam Upanishad. A soul is an individuum. A soul can never die. Krishna says this. That verse. For the soul, there's never. What is that verse? Never was a time that I did not exist, nor you, nor all these beings. And the other one, for the soul there's never najayati mriyati vakadachinayam bhutva bhavitavana bhuya. My God, so much knowledge. For the soul there's never birth or death. So much knowledge. The soul is an individuum, the soul can never die. What else? My maivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That they're expansions of Krishna. Vivinamsas. Vivinamsas. Where do we get this idea from? That the soul is swamsa, the Lord is Vishnu Tattva is Swamsa and the soul is Bibinamsa. You know where it comes from? I tell you. It comes from Varaha Purana. Mahavarana Purana says, Swamsas chata vibinamsa iti dvidha saishyati, etc. I saved myself in Sanskrit. Supreme Lord is known in two ways, in terms of his plenary expansions and his separate expansions. Between the plenary expansions and the source of expansions, Vishnu Tattva, there is never any essential difference in terms of their either capabilities, forms, or situations. The separate expansions, however, the Swamsas, are Jiva Tattva, possess only minute potency, being endowed only to a very small extent with the Lord's power. That was the Vishnu, the Varaha Purana says. Very clear. Vibinamsas, Swamsas, on the one side you have the Vibinamsas, the immediate, direct expansions of Krishna. Of this there are unlimited. Think of that, personalities of Godhead. That's why we say Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. Very, Prabhupada makes this very clear. It sounds very odd, but it's very true. He's a supreme personality of God because there are many personalities of Godhead. There's so many, unlimited. You know, the verse is in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murti Shukalaniya Minatishta, that so many avatars in form of Varaha, Nishinga, etc. come from his form. These are the Swamsas. And then there are unlimited Vibinamsas. We have so such detail, and this is a Vishnu Tattva. This is a Jiva Tattva. Vishnu Tattva on one side, Jiva Tattva on the other side. So precise. And where is the soul coming in? We are Vishnu Tattva. And we always have been. And we always have been. This, of course, raises an interesting question. Why we have a father? Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita in Bhagavad Gita. Very clearly, he's a father. Why? How is it that the eternal soul has a father? How can we have a father if we are eternal? Is this contradictory? We should ask this question. Is it? It is not quite contradictory. When the eternal soul, the jiva, the swamsa, falls from the spiritual world, how do we fall from the spiritual world? Well, in the Bible, actually the story is really good. Adam and Eve, they're in paradise. Adam comes actually from Adharma. He was Dharma, and before he came, Adharma. I heard it is even in Varishya Purana, the story. From Dharma fell, he became Adharma. Why? Because he listened to the snake who proposed, if you take this apple, you become as good as God. It's an allegorical. It was pure poison and we drank it like fools, all of you, and me included, and everybody in the material world. It was pure poison. You become like God. That's what brings us here. So when the eternal soul actually takes the quality of mortality by accepting a material body, at that time, Lord Vishnu glances, the Garbhodakashai Vishnu glances over material nature and impregnates material nature by living entities. In that capacity, Krishna becomes our father. There it is, for the soul, in the material world. He's our father. This is how we explain this. In the Bible, people have no idea. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. What about the rest of us? What about the rest of us? He says, our Father. So not just his Father, my Father also. Who's in heaven? Our Father is in heaven. So why he's the only begotten Son of God? Where did they get this idea from? It comes from the 2nd century, St. John's. It's not even logical. Prabhupada always wondered about is how is it that the unlimited God is limited to one son? Krishna has millions, millions and millions and millions of sons. Even Dwarka Lila, how many sons Krishna has?
60,000 wives and 10,000 sons of
the man. Huh? Come on, you You're from America. You have the brain. I'm just a German dullard. I'm just a Hun. I'm just a Hun.
160,000
sons. How is Jesus the only begotten son? Jesus, in all respect, huge devotee. Huge, gigantic, no doubt about it. Otherwise, nobody can be so famous after even 2,000 years. You have to have something, you know. No doubt about it. And Prabhupada always said, pure devotee. Descended from the spiritual world. So, Krishna, there he has. Now, this actually is an interesting question then. Dwarka Leela, now this is not the, these are not material sons. They're not born from the Mahavishnu glancing over material nature, obviously. How does that work? How is there an idea of God being the father in the spiritual world? What do you think? Is there? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it is, first of all, in Dwarka Leela, there you can see it. It is in terms of Leela. It's actually in terms of Leela. In the spiritual world, there are different rasas. As we all know, there's, what is it? There's Santa Rasa and, let me just look it up here, just to make sure I get this right. So there's Santa, there's Dasya, there's Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, Rasa. These are the five chief rasas. And now the idea to have God as a father entails servitorship. It's in Dasya Rasa. In Dasya Rasa. And more precisely, the relationships that the sons of Krishna have on the spiritual level, not the ones we enjoy in terms of being living entities, being conceived into the material nature. That is technically called Gaurava Dasya. Dasya Rasa is divided in two categories, Sambrahma Dasya, reverential servitude, and the more intimate Gaurava Dasa, where one sees the Lord as the only maintainer and protector. Sri Krishna's son's relationship to Krishna in Dwarka Leela is Gaurava Dasya. It's a transcendental relationship. It exists in the spiritual world. And my suggestion is Jesus shared this relationship. That's why he talks, our Father who is in heaven, he talks about his relationship with God, even when he died. Moment of death is a very crucial moment. It's a moment when it comes out. And he said, Father, it is done. It's a transcendental relationship. It's in this Gaurava Dasya. It's a spiritual relationship. Then in the spiritual relationship, you can have this sentiment to relate to God as the Father on the Vaikuntha planets. You can't have it in Goloka Vrindavan, because that's Krishna doesn't play that role. It requires Aishwarya or veneration. And you don't have Aishwarya cannot enter. Aishwarya is energy also. Aishwarya cannot enter Goloka Vrindavan. It's not possible. There everything is shanti and peaceful and on a friendly level. It's a different mood. It's a different mood. So we have such exquisite and concentrated, perfect knowledge of how everything is going on. There's people in the material. There are just theories about God. This theory about God, I mean, do you know how many Christian sects are that don't agree with each other? About 6,000. Everybody has his own Jesus. People don't agree with each other. In Germany, in Europe, we had 30 years of war between Catholics and Protestants, a 30-year-old war. More than 40 million people were killed in the most cruel way, just being at each other's throat, on theological differences. What is the difference between one and the other? It's very simple. Look at the ceiling. The ceiling is white. Put a yellow spectacle on your nose. You said the ceiling is yellow. Put a blue spectacle on your nose. Said the ceiling is blue. Put a red one. Said the ceiling is red. And then you start fighting over the red book, the red ceiling, red idea of God, blue idea. These are just projections of very small Western minds. Tiny, small, insignificant Western minds project on Krishna that he has a beard, for example, and he's old. all these things, surrounded by whatever. These are just small ideas. And so the whole world is full of small ideas, theories about God. This theory about God, that theory. And generally, theologians, instead of explaining God, they're covering God with their theories. All New Testament is like, all Christianity, I know, in and out. It's just theory about God. This, and Catholics and Protestants are fighting. Fortunately enough, in the year 1648, a peace settlement was made that they get off each other's throat, accept each other as they are, although they don't like each other. But in Northern, in Ireland, it never stopped. Even now, I distributed a book sometimes. Recently, somebody asked me, are you a Catholic or Protestant? I said, look, I'm Hare Krishna. He said, are you a Catholic? Protestant? I said, no, I'm a Hare Catholic, Hare Krishna, Protestant, Hare Krishna. This huge wall, I mean, we got rid of the Berlin Wall thanks to Gorbachev. Gorbachev, by the way, Gorbachev in Bengali means God saves us. Gor saves us. So he saved us from the Berlin Wall. In Belfast, you have a 5-meter high wall going across the city. Falls Road on one side, Shankill Road on the other side. Even after 400 years of fighting. So people are so entrenched in these ideas, simply projecting their small minds on God. This is what theologians do. Therefore, they have so many different theologies, and so they don't explain, they cover. Do we have an example? We have an example in our own line of disciplic succession when Lord Chaitanya listened to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for 7 days. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him, did you understood what I said? Yes, but I understand the Vedanta Sutra very well, but you're covering with your explanations the Vedanta Sutra. There you have it. It's just a human nature to project. I studied sociology before I came to the movement and other things. But I learned that if you work with people, for example, sociology means this, how people are made, how people interact, etc. And I remember the professor gave the example. Say somebody in a company produces every hour 50 tires. Then all of a sudden, so there is some, say, sometimes it's 55, sometimes it's 45, sometimes it's 49, then it's 52, then it's like this. You know, there's a sinus curve in all of our activities because of mental activities. The mind is oscillating. Always between happiness and distress. So nobody can produce 60 tires every day. It's always like this. So all of a sudden it goes down to 6 and 8 a day and 12. So there's a gap between expectation and actually performance. There's a gap there. And the supervisor in generally will fill this with his idea. He said, you are not producing because you're a lazy bum, you must be drinking, etc., etc., and insulting the man. How does he find out what actually happens? How can he find out? By perception? Okay, I mean, give me an example. What is this? Don't tell me. Say you have never seen it before. It's a bead bag. I walk around in the city and I meet a guy. He asked me, what is it? He said, what is it? Well, are you carrying a gun?
It's a hand warmer.
Yeah, a hand warmer? Did you hurt yourself? I'm very sorry to see this. I mean, he cannot possibly find out by pratyaksha, by direct perception. Nor can he find out by mental speculation. It could be this, it could be that. That's anumana. He cannot, you know. He has to ask me, what is inside? I said, hey, this is it. This is by hearing, by shabda. Very simple thing. You know, you can explain like this. You know, very simple. By feedback. Only by shabda I can understand what's inside. Not by direct perception, pratyaksha, nor by anumana, by speculation. Maybe a gun inside, maybe hand warmer inside, maybe this. Not like that. only by hearing, by shabda. So in the same way, the supervisor can only understand why this man is producing only 8 tiles by asking him, "Dear sir, how is it?" And he will tell, "My mother has cancer. Every night I have to tend to her bed. I can't get sleep at night, so when I come into company, I'm totally wiped out." It's a classical example. Classical example. So the whole world is full of what you call in America BS. I don't want to go into purport to it. It's full of, even the world of religiosity is full of speculation. And we are saved by Lord Chaitanya. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we are saved from all this. There's, in fact, a verse who explains this. Read it to you. Just find out. Let's chant this verse. Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Balo Piyat Anugrahat Taren Nana Matagraha Vyaptam Siddhantach Sagaram. Here it comes. I offer my obeisance to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can cross over the ocean of ideas, conclusive truth, according to scientists, whatever they conclude, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. Like crocodiles. Mundane religion is a crocodile. And people are in the throat of this crocodile, and there are thousands and millions of Christians, you know, having to hear from people who have no authority, no understanding what God is all about. I mean, coming from a Christian background, when the World Trade Center collapsed, the Bishop, the Cardinal of New York, said in St. Patrick's, "Where was God yesterday? I'm losing my faith." Come on, Krishna is omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's... The philosophy is omnipresent, but why don't they apply the philosophy? He was right there. Nobody can die. No, not even a demon can be hurt without Krishna. Everybody is completely under Krishna's protection, and we enjoy and suffer only exactly due to our own deeds. Everybody eats his own soup. And Krishna is a cook. Kamana Deva Nechena. Of course, he doesn't do it himself. He works with his agents like Yamaraj. But you supply the sabji and the masala and the salt and the pepper and then you get your soup. Don't complain. You don't like the soup. Well, that's what you gave the cook. Kamana Deva Nechina. According to Krishna says, this verse, by the way, Kamana Deva Nechina, is not spoken by a terrestrial. Is spoken by Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Supreme Personality of God, has said, Kamana Deva Nechina, according to your karma of previous life, you're getting. That's where it comes from. Yet, when people ask, I asked my priest when I was 12 years old, my brother just died of cancer, he was lying there, his body tortured, skull was opened 5 times, I mean, unimaginable, he was emaciated to a skeleton. And he breathes his last, and the priest is standing there in his black tala. And I said to him, "Father," he said, 12 years old, "why does my brother have to suffer like this? Where's God in all this? What has he done?" He said, "He has not done anything." "But it says in the Bible," I said, "he, whatever you sow, you reap." I cannot, this is what actually happened. I can't lie in front of the deity. "As you sow, you reap." What has he sown? He was only 6 years old, 7 years old. In fact, 3 when he got cancer. How does it happen? He said, "I don't know." I said, "Father, you just made me an atheist." My mother, Peter, how can you say this? Your brother just died. How can you talk to the priest like this? I said, "He made me an atheist, mother. He doesn't give me an explanation. Why an innocent brother has to die like this? There is no God. It's all random." That was my conclusion with 12. And I left the church behind. Congratulations. There's no knowledge. Why? Because according to church theology, there's no pre-existence of the soul. The soul begins in 1946. Then you cannot explain why the innocent suffer. When there was a tsunami Japan. Tsunami in Japan. I'll give you a very graphic display now. The Japanese girl calls in the Vatican. There was a conference, teleconference, first in history. Calls, I mean, Father, all my friends are dead. First the earthquake came, then the water came. Why does God allow it? Hello, Elena. I feel with you. I have the same questions. Why is it this way? Why do some suffer and others live in ease? And we don't have any answers. But maybe Jesus also suffered as you, and he was innocent, and he was a true God. So he's always on your side. And although we don't, and this is very important to understand, but although we have no answers, also if the sadness remains, Jesus is with you, and you can be sure of that, that he will help you. Amen. One day you might even understand why it is so. Every rickshaw wala in India will give you a good answer. Why don't they make the rickshaw wala the Pope? I mean, really, every rickshaw, every bangi knows that if you suffer, right? It's true. Every bangi knows. If you suffer, it is a result of your previous life. Everybody in India knows. That's why it's such an amazing culture. Every single person knows, as you sow, you shall reap. He doesn't know. He's a professor of theology. Professor of theology can't answer a simple question that every bangi in India can explain. I'm sorry. That's the problem. The whole world is possessed with people who have absolutely no idea and who claim to be authorities of God. One day they say, after the animal died, animal goes to heaven. Another pope says, no, it is finished. Another one says, there's immaterial, non-spiritual soul. Why do innocent people suffer? I have no idea. I thought the same thing. You know? And 3 billion people are following this. Why? Because when they go to church, they leave their brain in the parking lot. Even if somebody may be a highly learned professor, when he goes to church, he goes boo 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 boo. He doesn't think anymore. He suspends his intellectual, faculties, right? He suspends his faculties and buys into that paradigm. So we have a wonder. We are in an incredible position. The Hare Krishna movement. We have an incredible philosophy. We have an incredible culture. We have nothing to win on the outside. Nothing, believe me. This movement has nothing to gain from the outside. But we have a lot to lose. A lot to lose. Nothing to gain. Hey, quiet. Mataji, quiet. Hey, Krishna. I know very well, I have kids. You know, sometimes quiet. That's how that works. So much knowledge, so much philosophy, precise understanding, defined understanding what is soul. Augustine, Saint Augustine, he had a boyfriend. When the boyfriend died, he thought that half of his soul died. That there was one soul in two bodies. That was his philosophy. And so when his friend died, he thought half of his soul is dead. Huh? He thought half of his soul is dead. The soul can never die. So he thought there's one soul in two bodies. What kind of philosophy is that? And so he was praying, of course, and Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. Help me to keep the regulative principles, but not yet. There was his prayer. Sometimes later, when I'm old. You understand? Lord, give me chastity. That means, Lord, help me to keep the four regulative principles. But not yet. Sometimes in future.
Let me enjoy now.
Give me chastity, my Lord, but not yet. When I'm old. Prabhus, we have an incredible philosophy. We have people who practice this philosophy to the tilt, like Srila Prabhupada, as our example. When Prabhupada, I was a translator. When Prabhupada came to Germany in 1974, I happened to be the translator for him. And let me just show you. There's Prabhupada, there's Durkheim, Professor Durkheim, here's myself. And here is a discussion between Prabhupada, a Christian monk, very nice man actually, and a professor of theology. I saw how Prabhupada was dealing with these two people in a very different way. He asked the Christian monk, are you vegetarian? He said, yes, I'm a vegetarian. Prabhupada said, very nice. What are you doing with these beads? The Christian monk had beads. Prabhupada said, I'm chanting the names of Jesus on these beads. Prabhupada said, why? He said, Jesus is God. So Prabhupada came to the conclusion, this man chants the names of God on these beads. And Prabhupada said, very nice. Keep doing this. He said, this is very nice. He was not trying. He was impressed. And the man explained to him that he's chanting always the names of Jesus. He thinks it is God. And Prabhupada explained to him that Christ is similar to Krishna. It is connected in some or other. Prabhupada was happy with this man. He didn't try to reform him. It was a nice man. I called him just a couple months ago. He was very old. He became the abbot of this monastery, vegetarian monk, Benedictine. I said, Father Emmanuel, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing okay. He said, what about yourself? I said, I'm still in the high Christ. You're still in this movement, Prithu Das. You're still. He said, look, I have thought a lot about the high Krishna movement. And I came to the conclusion there's a lot of piety in this movement, he told me. Wonderful. A lot of piety. You could recognize this. There's a lot of piety in the Hare Krishna movement, he told me. The other professor, I don't want to name the name, let him rest in peace, he departed. Prabhupada asked him, Professor, what is your philosophy? Professor started cranking it up, you know. You know, all theory about God. And after some time, Prabhupada shook his head like Indians do this. I'm not capable to do that. And the man couldn't figure out, was he saying yes or no, or what is it? He said, Swamiji, what do you think? And Prabhupada said, 2,000 years have passed, and still you don't understand Jesus. That's what Prabhupada said. 2,000 years, I was in ecstasy. Can you imagine to translate that? 2,000 years have passed, and it was like, you know, the Bible speaking, you know, some like Ben-Hur, you know, 2,000 years, a rumbling voice, 2,000 years have passed, Prabhupada's deep voice, and still you don't understand Jesus. The man said, why? Prabhupada said, because if you understand Jesus, you can understand Krishna, because there's only one religion, really, to love God. And if you love Krishna, you love Jesus. If you understand Krishna, he said, then you can understand Krishna, Jesus. If you understand Jesus, you can understand Krishna. And then when you understand Krishna, you can understand Jesus. Very simple. The one philosophy. When Jesus was asked, what is the essence of religion? His answer came, one should love God with all one's heart, with all one's soul, with all thy strength. And Shukadeva Goswami was asked this question. What was the answer? Savai Pung Samparo Dharmo. What is the highest religion? Yato Bhakti Dadhoksati. There you see, there's only one religion. To love God. This is the highest value that people don't understand. We're living in a world of choices, particularly in the Western. Unlimited choices, minimum value. Minimum value. Absolutely, the soul is trashed as being useless, practically speaking, by modern culture. Therefore, we have to reject this culture and come to Vedic culture, introduce Vedic culture into the West, where there's such wonderful understanding of God, where there's perfect understanding of how material nature works, how the duty of a mother, the duty of a child, the duty of a father, the duty of everybody's duties is explained. Bhishma explained it on his deathbed. What is the duty of everybody? Everything is explained perfectly. Whereas in the Western world, people don't have ideas, and in their little Western minds, they come up with so many conclusions that have absolutely no value in the eyes of Shastra. No value. We have to start learning to distrust our minds. Our mind led us down the road into the material world. That's what we are here. Anybody who trusts his mind is fool number one. Fool number one. Because you come to the wrong conclusion. We came to the conclusion that we can be as good as God. That's why we are here. That was our conclusion. And some people still think that way. If you come to this conclusion, you're a fool. Shama Sundar told me a story. He rode with Prabhupada down the road in Calcutta. And there was on every tree, there was a picture of one famous Swami who came to the Western world for the World Parliament of Religion in 1800 or something. I don't want to name the name. You see him standing like this many times, turban on his head, right? Prabhupada said to Shama Sundar, do you know what he's saying? Prabhupada was sitting in the back. Shama Sundar was sitting in the front with the driver. He said, no, Prabhupada. Look, he's saying something. So I don't see anything. Prabhupada said, he's saying I'm fool number one. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody who thinks that he can be as good as God, he's a fool. And if you make a philosophy out of it and you publish it and you dare to go in front of the world and saying, you're definitely fool number one. That's what Prabhupada said. I thank you so much. It was great fun to take you for a ride through our philosophy. We have about 10 minutes, I suppose. Do you have any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. I just recently reading Jiva Dharma, and I found a paragraph that's very wide on the topic what you're talking about. It's at the end of the 8th chapter on Vaishnava behavior, and it's between Sri Nityananda Das Babaji and Hari Das Babaji. Thank you. Actually, there is no dharma other than Vaishnava dharma. All other religions propagated in the world, including those to be propagated in future years, factually comprise different steps upon the ascension to Vaishnava dharma. Or alternatively, there are deviations from the essential Vaishnava dharma. When another religion complements Vaishnava dharma, the devotee should respect that religion in accordance with its degree of purity. Thus, the followers of these religions, which actually constitute different stages in the path of pure Vaishnava dharma, must be accorded proper appreciation and respect. On the other hand, while dealing with groups that have deviated from pure Vaishnava dharma, one must never bear malice or engage oneself in the culture but engage oneself in the culture of one's own devotional truth. Thus, devotees should never be hateful and show malice towards other religious practices. When the auspicious moment comes in a person's life, he will easily embrace pure Vaishnava Dharma. Of this, there is no doubt.
Thank you very much. Prabhupada says something similar in this commentary to the discussion between Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, and the Qazi. Lord Chaitanya explains to the Qazi that there are many mistakes in the Quran. So the Qazi answers, "My dear Nimai, what you said is very true. Our scriptures have developed only recently, and they are certainly not logical and philosophical." Then Prabhupada says, "The scriptures of the Yavanas or meat eaters are not eternal scriptures. They have been fashioned recently, and sometimes they contradict one another." Now Prabhupada becomes very direct. "The scriptures of the Yavanas are three: the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. Their compilation has history, and they are not eternal like Vedic knowledge. Therefore, although they have their arguments and reasonings, they are not very sound and transcendental. As such, modern people advanced in science and philosophy deem these scriptures unacceptable." They become atheists. "Sometimes Christian priests come to us and inquire, 'Why are your followers neglecting our scriptures and accepting yours?' But we ask them, 'Your Bible says, do not kill. Why are you killing so many animals?' They cannot answer. Some of them imperfectly answer that animals have no soul. But then we ask you, 'How do you know that animals have no soul?' Just like we had in the, we discussed this. Pope says they're immaterial, non-spiritual. Animals and children have the same nature. Does this mean that the children of human society have no soul? According to Vedic scriptures, within the body is the owner of the body, the soul. In Bhagavad Gita it says, 'Deno smenya tade kumaram yuvanam jara.' The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. There's soul within every body, every creature, whether animal, birds, beasts, human beings. The soul is transmigrating from one body to another. And when the scriptures of the Yavanas, namely the Old Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran cannot properly answer inquisitive followers, naturally those advanced in scientific knowledge and philosophy lose faith in such scriptures." The Qazi admitted this while talking to Lord Chaitanya. The Qazi was a very intelligent people. He had full knowledge of his position as stated in the following verse. So Prabhupada is very clear there. And when this professor, Prabhupada told him, 2,000 years have passed, and then Prabhupada says, "I highly respect Jesus." He said, actually, unbelievably, I was shocked when he said, "The founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness," that's what he said, "declares to you that Jesus, practically speaking, is his guru." That's what Prabhupada said. Of course, we understand his guru is Bhaktisiddhanta, but for Preet to make this man understand, he said, "But for the Christians, I have only sharp words." Professor said, "Why?" He said, "Because they don't follow Jesus." He said, "They eat meat. Jesus said, 'Thou shalt not kill.' They follow Jesus with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." And that's actually a quote right from the New Testament. "You follow me with your lips, your heart is far away from me." Prabhupada was so tuned in, that he even quoted a verse right from the mouth, a saying of Jesus, that "you worship me with your lips, your heart is far away from me." I take the Bible. Jesus said, "He who takes to the sword will be killed by the sword." If you go into a McDonald's, you take to the sword, you will be killed by the sword. Not this life. It's not that Jesus was just talking. In your next life, or in one of the next lives, you will be killed. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So that's what Prabhupada was getting at. He was very happy with this one monk he thought he was a sincere person. And he gave up eating meat and he was trying to understand God in his own way. Prabhupada was extremely respectful. To the other person, Prabhupada was very harsh, chastising him like anything. So we have Prabhupada soft like a rose and hard like a thunderbolt. We have to follow this example. I thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. Bhaji, did you enjoy it?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,